Father God, Lord, I want to pray for just the retreat and the lesson, and if we can really take on your promises and really implement them into our life. I want to pray for this lesson and that everyone here can have ears to hear and be able to respond to the lesson that Adonai's going to be speaking on and really begin working through things in their heart and giving those to you. I want to pray that Donnie can really be led by the Spirit and communicate in the way that you call. And that through this, Lord, we can just learn what it means to glorify your name and to live for you in deeper ways. And if we choose to live for you, we know that we can live for you with you forever as well. So thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross for us and just gave us a chance in this life. And it's in his name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Love you, brother. Hey, when you guys were first walking in here, there was only a few guys to start with about 15 minutes ago. And it was just these guys here in the front row. And believe it or not, they were all sitting on top of each other on one chair. They were all stacked on this chair right here, on this man. And I was like, wow, how is he not suffocating and how is that chair not falling apart? And then Kyle Dixon's like, do you mind if I sit on top of you guys? So, and he didn't ask, he just went ahead and went boop and sat down. The winner, the chair, it's still here. Yeah, so if that chair held up, it held up. Who you got tonight? Chiefs or Dolphins?
Dolphins!
I'm from Florida. I'm from Florida, and I know my good buddy Gabe is from Miami, and he came up with me, and he's a Dolphin fan. But as a Bucks fan, I only care about the Bucks, which we play on Monday night in warm Tampa against the reeling Philadelphia Eagles. But tonight, I'm a Chiefs fan. Yeah. And so I'm pretty sure, believe it or not, when we left Florida, it was 74 degrees. I'm talking like the day before yesterday. When we left Florida to come on this trip, it was 74. I'm pretty sure those Dolphins are going to get off the plane, or they already got off the plane going, uh-uh. And it's going to be below zero, plus whose house was it that burnt down?
Kyrie.
Yeah, there's too many distractions for Miami right now. So I got Chiefs all the way.
Dolphins got it.
Yeah, we'll see. But I'm gonna tell you guys, if anything is praiseworthy, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of what is the most praiseworthy things in my life is, of course, this picture behind you guys, Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you and for me, that he intentionally gave his life so that we might live. That is the most praiseworthy thing, and I felt it in our worship. This morning, I felt it in our worship last night, and I love the fact that we have the most praiseworthy thing in the world to thank God for, and that is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The next thing I think about when I think about what is praiseworthy in my life, I think about my family. I think about when I was y'all's age praying for the right girl to step into my life, and I did a couple girls. They were not the right girl. I was engaged to one. And if your buddies start coming up to you and going, hey, I don't know about this girl, you should listen to them. I not only didn't listen to them, I got engaged to the wrong girl. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church. But her heart was not sold out for Christ. In fact, I think she's on her third marriage right now. I was like, oh, that could have been me. Thank you, God, for saving me from that. God saved me as a single guy into my early 30s. And that's when I met Julie, coming off a mission trip. She actually didn't go on the mission trip with us, but she came to pick up her sister. And I was coming off a relationship. She was coming off a relationship. It wasn't the right timing, but I saved her digits, and I waited for the right timing, and God worked out the rest. Amen. And what was also awesome is, I'm mid-30s at the time we got married. She's mid-20s. And then we prayed about having kids, and we told our family, don't ever tell when you do get married someday, if you're not married already, don't tell your parents that, don't tell your wife's parents that you're planning to have kids in a couple, 2 or 3 years, because they're going to start asking. So they started asking 2, 3 years, and then we actually started trying about 3 years in. And we couldn't have kids, fourth year, couldn't have kids. We went to the doctor. Doctor tested both of us and said, I don't know if you guys can have kids. 3 years later, 7 years into marriage, we had kids. And so God bless us with Mackenzie, who's 10 years old now, and Adeline. And that is one of the most praiseworthy things in my life is my family. And of course, my Christian family, this is praiseworthy. 6 months can't come soon enough. Every 6 months I see you guys at CMU, I see you guys at Family Vacation, and I love our Christian family in Florida. We just started a new church. I'll tell you about that in just a moment, as a church plant with the Crossings here. And then I thank God for my Christian family as a whole here together. Amen, church?
Amen.
It is a blessing to be together. God is so good. I want you guys to think about some of the things that you find praiseworthy right here and right now in your life. Just start naming some of the things that are praiseworthy.
Love.
Community. Yes, sir. It's so important to have that Christian community. Yes. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.
Grace.
Hardship.
What is that?
Hardship.
Mitch, would you explain how that is praiseworthy?
You know, well, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because it'll give you perseverance and prepare you for all the good work.
That's right. And if you want some hardship, plant a church.
Yeah.
And again, I'll talk about that in just a little bit. I find it very praiseworthy. It was causing a little anxiety in my life, but then at the same time, I gave it all over to God, and God has been blessing our two-month-old church plant in Florida. Anybody else? What do you find praiseworthy?
Work.
What's that?
Work.
The word?
Work.
Work. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Getting to work. It's a privilege to work. It's a blessing to work. There's so many people in this world that can't work for one reason or another. And so it's a blessing to be able to work diligently and work for the Lord as well. What else do you guys find praiseworthy?
Friendship and family.
Amen. Friendship and family. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want you guys to think about all those things and consider all those things. And I want you guys to also understand that we need to find praiseworthiness in everything that God gives us, regardless of the circumstances. There's a lot of things in this life that are circumstantial. For instance, this picture is taken in the Bucks practice facility. Back after we won the Super Bowl, I had a friend that worked there, and we got a chance to go inside the practice. That's all we really did was go inside the practice facility and take a picture. But like, that's so cool. We got to go in there. That was awesome. Since then, the Bucks, Tom Brady retires, not as good. They're, you know, circumstances, great one year, terrible the next, or not as good the next. As far as circumstances go, I know with work, sometimes you can be employed, and sometimes you can be fired, and I was fired. This past year. I'll tell you more about that in just a little bit. As far as circumstances go, sometimes you guys can study, get that great A+. Sometimes you guys can study, and still fail. And you're like, but professor, I studied hard. You're like, but you didn't study the right thing. You're like, why did you tell me what the right thing is? I studied, I prepared. Sometimes finances can be great. Sometimes, due to no fault of your own even, you're trying to stay on top of things financially, and things can fall apart. Nothing is promised to us except for the fact that God will be there to hold our hand through all circumstances. And praise God for that. Praise God for His provisions. All right, next slide. All right, here is the church plant. Oh, nope, go back one. No, where'd it go?
Go? Are you looking for?
I don't know.
This?
No. I don't know. This might be all off the wrong order. Go back. That's it. Yeah. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It says, do not be anxious about anything. This is not a healthy worry that God's talking about. There is a healthy worry that causes us to want to study or to want to work harder to achieve something. But what God's talking about here, what Paul is talking about here in this verse, is an anxiety that tears us up, an anxiety that takes over, a worry, a fear, in which we are not relying on God any longer. And God wants full reliance on Him. Amen, church?
Amen.
We need to fully rely on Him in every situation, not just the good situations, not just the ideal situations, not just the situations that God puts us in where we're like, I'll choose door A, God, but not door B. In every situation, no matter what that situation is, we get to, by prayer and petition. Prayer, it's so important to pray about things, but petitioning God, truly petitioning God. Sometimes I feel like I have a good prayer life, but my prayer life is at its best when I'm truly on my knees petitioning God. When we planted the church, and this is a picture of our new church plant, this was opening day. We started with 20 people, and I said, this is a soft opening, guys. We're just going to invite our neighbors and friends. And we gave everybody 2 months, because we were just meeting at my house. Said, 2 months, we're just going to invite our neighbors and friends. Boy, did they. They invited, like, everybody that they knew. And we had this many show up the first day. We had 92 people. It was awesome. Since then, we've been averaging about 50 or 60, because a lot of people that showed up are unchurched. A lot of people that showed up obviously don't know God yet. They're just our friends and neighbors. They came because we invited them. But now we got a lot of work to do, right? We got a lot of work to do. And so it's awesome that we're still double or 2.5 times bigger than the soft launch team. And it's great that we have so many people that we get to work with, that we get to study with. We've already had 3 baptisms in the first 2 months. So praise God for that and for the way discipleship studies. And we're trying to teach our people to really take ownership of not just me inviting people and not just them inviting people, but them really investing into the lives of others, just like you guys are doing at the different church plants and here at the Crossings in Wentzville. So don't be anxious. I'm telling you, there were so many times the first couple of months leading even up to the church plant and the first few weeks that we started as a church that I was anxious. I called Carrie and I was like, Carrie, man, I need prayer right now. And he's like, dude, man, God's got it. God has got it. Just don't worry, Donnie. Rely on God. And God truly has taken it and taken off with it. And I'm so thankful that I didn't listen to Satan, that I didn't listen to his lies, and he's tried to trip up our church plant every step of the way. But I know God has truly got it. Amen, church?
Amen.
All right, all right. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I don't get the peace of God, but I'm so glad for the peace of God in my life. And that peace of God, it guards our hearts. It guards our minds. So we have emotional control. We have mental stability. And when our hearts and thought life is right, then the peace of God in our lives is right. We rely on the peace of God to truly transform our lives and our hearts and our minds. And I'll tell you that I have thought about it. What's that? Okay, no worries. I have thought about that peace that has passes understanding, and Julie and I have really talked about it. And it's just amazing to know that God has really given our family that peace of mind to go out and to share the gospel message with others. And then the scripture continues here in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. I've encouraged several of my friends to do this because I've done it on my devices and on my television set. But Philippians 4, 8, and 9, I've copied it down and I put it on the outside of my iPad. I put it on top of our TV. One of my good friends, a girl named Marilyn, she has it on the top of her TV, and I was like, I bet with that verse right there, you probably don't stream things that you probably shouldn't stream or watch. And she goes, you are exactly right. That's why I put it there. I bet with that, you are not wandering off and watching a Netflix series you probably shouldn't watch that is contrary to Christ's message. And she goes, exactly right. And so I put it on the back of my phone. But I encourage you guys to copy this verse and to put it on your devices or to have it as your screensaver, your home screen, whatever it takes. But when you truly focus on that which is praiseworthy, it's a whole lot harder for the devil to make his way into our lives through our devices. I want you guys to understand that it is our job to savor every blessing from God and then to share every blessing that God has in our lives and to give it away to other people. All right. If anything is praiseworthy, then we focusing on that which is praiseworthy, it affirms the sufficiency of Christ in our lives. Christ is all sufficient. That's why he doesn't want anxiety in our lives. He wants you to know that you can fully rely on him all the time, that he is the one that will take care of everything in our life. When we focus on that which is praiseworthy, then we move on to verses like Philippians 4:13, understanding that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And then understanding verses like 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, that his grace is sufficient for us, for his strength is made perfect in my weakness. His sufficiency is all that we need, and that only comes when we understand that we have to focus on that which is praiseworthy. If we will focus on the things that are praiseworthy, we will understand the sufficiency of God and Christ and his Holy Spirit in our lives. All right, here we go. So here's my 3 points, and then I've got 3 little additional points after that. But pursuing that which is praiseworthy, it exhibits hope in you to give others hope too. 1 Peter 3, verses 13 through 15 says this, "Who is going to harm you if you, brothers, are eager to do good? Even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." And this word defense here, I want you to understand something. That this is not a defensive word in and of itself. That when this is written, that it's talking about us going on the offense as well with our defense. Not just waiting for somebody to attack your faith, not just waiting for somebody to ask you questions in which you respond properly for Christ, but we need to go on the offense for Christ and to share the good news of our risen Lord and Savior with the world around us. Amen, church?
Amen.
We need to be on the offense. And so I've got this picture right here. This is my good friend, Bradley Shackelford. I actually haven't seen Bradley in about 25 years, but Bradley Shackelford, I met at Abilene Christian University. And I didn't meet him as a student. So my brother played football at ACU. I was a graduate assistant at ACU, not on the field for the football team, but for the academics. All the guys that were 2.0 or below, basically all the guys that were risking failing and not being on the team anymore, they gave them to me for 9 hours a week. I had to have them in study hall. And I said, "Guys, I don't care if you study or not. I really want you to study, but you've got to stay in the library on the bottom floor here." And then immediately they'd come up to me and they're like, "Hey, can I leave now?" I'm like, "No, you have to stay here for 9 hours. You have to study." They came in for three different days for 3-hour shifts. And I said, "You have to stay here and at least attempt to study to get your grades up." So that was my job with the football team. But after that first week on the field, my brother and I and a couple of the guys from the team were out eating dinner, and we ran across Bradley, and Bradley looked like a football player. He's a big guy. And Bradley came up to us and he goes, "Hey, do you guys have any money for food?" And we're like, "Oh, do you not have anything?" And he goes, "No, I'm homeless right now. And I'm just in a bad situation and I'm really hungry." And this is when we were walking up to the restaurant door. I was like, "Man, come eat with us. Come share in God's provisions with us." So Bradley came and sat down and had dinner with us, and he told us his story. And it was a really sad story of how both his parents had passed away when he was younger, and he had bounced around to different foster homes, and he was just looking for a leg up. And after high school, he had gotten his GED, was hoping to graduate from high school. He ended up getting his GED, but he was literally between jobs and homeless on the streets. So we had that wonderful dinner, and I was like, Scott, man, we can't leave him on the street like this. Like, we got to do something. It was starting to get a little cold there in Abilene. And so my brother's like, hey, we got that common area up in the football dorm where there's just like a big couch, and there's this space that maybe nobody would know that, you know, we're letting him stay there. And I was like, hey, Bradley, you want to come stay in the football dorm? He's like, yeah, man. So he came and stayed in the football dorm. He slept on the couch, and literally none of the dorm supervisors knew he was there, and he stayed there for a couple weeks. So then it came to eating. He would sneak into the cafeteria with us because all the football team would go together. And so he came in with the football team to eat. I'm not sure exactly how ethical that was, but he enjoyed eating with the team. The cafeteria lady came up and snagged me one day, and she goes, hey, is that guy a member of the football team? I was like, man, to be honest with you, he's not. I know he shouldn't be eating here. She goes, no. I know his situation. I know he's homeless. I'm so glad you guys are doing this for him. What was really cool is Bradley made a lot of friends with the Christians on the football team. Bradley gave his life to Christ. He was baptized into Christ after a couple of months. And it was awesome to see the change in his life. He even made the yearbook, and he wasn't even a student at AC. So he was in the yearbook twice. And it was cool to see how his life changed because a couple of the football players, my brother included, vested into Bradley's life. And this is a recent picture of him. Since then, he did 4 years in the Marine Corps. He also became a police officer. And this is him as a Texas A&M fan. I'm not sure about his choice in teams, but he is a great guy, and I absolutely love still keeping up with Bradley on social media, and this is his lovely wife. So, all right, let's move on. Go back one. Pursuing that which is praiseworthy. Number two, encourages others in their faith. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 7 through 9. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God. I love the fact that when we focus on that which is praiseworthy, it truly encourages others in their faith. So this picture is Gabriel. Gabriel's in the back. Say hi, Gabe.
Hello.
So Gabe was in my campus ministry from 2005 to 2009 at the University of Florida. It was an awesome time because we won like two national championships in football with Tim Tebow then. We won two national championships in basketball. It was a great time to be a Florida Gator. But what was an even better time for Gabe as a Gator was being part of Gators for Christ and being vested into Christ and into our campus ministry at the time. And so fast forward in time, Gabe moves away, goes back south. He reconnects with the love of his life, Joy. They get married. And so a couple kids later, he's back up in Florida. We reconnect. I get let go as the campus minister after 30 years working with University City Church of Christ. And that, guys, was a huge, huge blessing. Gabe comes up after me because a couple months later I present him with the idea of the church plant and something that I've always wanted to do because of my work here on the CMU board and being a part of you guys' lives and the churches and the church plants that I'm seeing. I was like, man, that's something I've always wanted to do. And it's like, well, God's like, all right, I'm going to fire you. It's time to go ahead and get that church plant going. And Gabe comes up to me and he goes, you know what, Donnie? Since you've been fired, that's the best thing that's ever happened to my spiritual life. And I go, well, thank you. I'm glad my being fired can help you with your spiritual life. But it truly did. It was one of the best things that ever happened to my spiritual life because I was no longer afraid of staying on the sideline with just a campus ministry, trying to do God's work with just a campus group, but not an entire church that was on board with what we are supposed to do as Christians in our mission, which is to go out and to seek and save the lost. Amen, church?
Amen.
And so it was a blessing to get to restart and to do this work like Mackie in Columbia, to get to do this work, like the work in Collinsville, to get to do this work, like the work in Tulsa, and in so many other places. It's just a blessing to see how God is working through our lives to encourage others in their faith by focusing on that which is praiseworthy. And I'm going to tell you right now, planting this church is one of the most praiseworthy things that God's ever done. I thank God every single day for his provisions, because then Gabe's son, is Jordan in here, or is he in the other class? Okay. Jordan's a junior in high school. He's been taken under the wing of some of you guys since he's been here. He's having a great time with his best friend Bryce that he brought from Florida. And Jordan was, would you say, not super interested in church before?
Yeah, not really. He's like, kind of like, he was kind of on the fence.
Right. And since we planted the church, Jordan's there every week. He and I got to study back 2 months ago. He gave his life to Christ in baptism. He is a new creature. And I'm telling you right, guys, right now, he is on fire. He used to never sing the songs there in church, the praise songs. What's he doing now, Gabe?
We had to like elbow him and be like, sing, sing. And now he's like singing on his own, like happily, joyfully. Like,
yes, awesome. Absolutely. And his buddy Bryce is here, and he's singing right along with him. And he hasn't made that commitment to Christ yet, but he is truly thinking about it because of being surrounded by this community just for a day and a half. And that's truly awesome to see. All right, next. Pursuing that which is praiseworthy, we become overflowers of joy. Truly understanding that joy in our life is like a fountain. And I've got a fountain off Facebook Marketplace. It's not this fountain. This is a really good fountain. This is a good structural-based fountain. And the water you pour into the bottom basin there, and then it flows up through a hose through the structure and then comes up at the top. And then it goes to the second level and then back down to the third level. And this is a beautiful, beautiful fountain. The fountain I bought off Facebook Marketplace, it looks real nice, but it's a piece of garbage. I only paid $20 for it. It was like a $300 fountain. The person's like, yeah, it works great. I brought it home. It doesn't work great. It hardly works at all. It like trickles out. We don't even try to put water in it anymore. We just have that fountain set up. It looks beautiful on our front patio. But it's just all looks. And as Christians, we shouldn't be just about looking the part. We should be about the work of God. We should truly be about the joy that he has given us. And I compare that bottom part of the fountain to God and keeping us full, and that comes up and overflows in our lives, and then we can't help but overflow into our brothers and sisters' lives in Christ, right? And then that goes right back to God, and it keeps on flowing and keeps on going. All right. If anything is praiseworthy, focusing on that which is praiseworthy, here's some of the products of that praiseworthiness in our lives. It produces contentment, a true contentment in Christ. Contentment, by the way, is a command. According to Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, For our conduct be without covetousness, which is jealousy of what other people have, by the way, in case you don't know what covetousness means. Being content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I praise God for that in my life, in my wife's life, in our family's life, in our new church family's life, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. So why do I have Paul Blart, the Mall Cop, up there? I don't know if you guys ever saw this movie. I didn't see this movie because I knew how bad it was going to be. But I have this picture up here because when I was a senior coming out of high school, my dad's like, hey, I know you got a scholarship to play ball at Harding. That's great. But if you want any kind of spending money, I'm not sending you any money. You better go out and work this summer and truly work and apply yourself for the 4 months that you're off between the end of school and before you start football up at Harding. So I went out and I got a job at the mall. I got a job in the local cinema at an 8-plex. My brother loved the fact that I got that job because he got to come see free movies. He's 4 years younger, so him and his 8th grade cronies would come and they'd come watch movies every Saturday. Literally come at like noon, and sometimes I was like, did they leave at 3 o'clock after watching a movie? I'd see him leaving at midnight after watching like 4 or 5 movies in a row, just hopping from theater to theater. But I really enjoyed that job. But we had a mall security guard, and it was not where the mall was not the safest area in town. And so we would ask the mall security guard, he would come over to the theater. His job was to come to the movie theater at 7 o'clock at night and stay till midnight. And his job was supposed to be to walk people out. We would have to beg him or remind him that he needed to walk out single ladies going to their cars, or single moms, or people that really needed or would feel safer with a cop or a mall cop taking them to the car. And his attitude was like, I really don't want to do this. I don't really care. And we confronted him one day, me and a couple of guys that were in the cinema. We said, hey, you know, if there was ever, because there was an active shooting somewhere at another mall in Florida. And he goes, if that ever happened here, what would you do? And he was like, oh, man, I'd be the first guy to take off. We're like, what? You are terrible. Like, we literally told him, like, you do not take this job seriously at all. Like, why are you even in security? You would just take off. That's so bad. And fortunately, after 2 months, he was fired justifiably. And in the last 2 months I was working there, we had another guy come in who was an actual police officer who took his job seriously to protect and to serve. And so he would readily walk people out to their cars. He was truly there to protect. And he seemed like the kind of guy that would be the first one in the line of fire if anything ever happened. When it comes to Jesus, we know that he was the first one into the line of fire so that you and I could be saved from eternal damnation. We know that Jesus Christ is there truly as our helper to hold our hand, that we can really believe with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our mind and all of our strength that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And that is one of the most praiseworthy things ever. And that in that alone we find contentment. Next. Focusing on that which is praiseworthy produces the right attitude. The right attitude is truly a matter of the heart. Complaining, I hate complaining. My 10-year-old is already acting like a teenager. Sometimes she really gets it. She's in here praising God with all of her heart. She's back home. She loves singing praise songs. But then she'll start complaining about the stupidest things. And I'm like, Mackenzie, for real, like, why are you complaining? You have so much to be thankful for. Don't complain about stupid things. But it's easy, especially as a preteen, to complain and be discontent about things or about what she doesn't have. And I have to remind her, not just with a Bible lesson from the front pulpit, but truly remind her one-on-one that God has given her so many beautiful things, and we are not to complain or be discontent, because that really is a sin. Philippians 2, 14 and 6 through 16 says this, do everything, again, not just some things, not just most things, do everything without complaining or arguing, without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. If you're complaining just like the rest of the world, is that going to change your lives for Christ? No, absolutely. But if you are shining your light, if you are truly not just relishing in that which is praiseworthy, but sharing that which is praiseworthy with the rest of the world, that's going to change lives in this warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among the stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. I love this from Charles Swindoll. And this is entitled Attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, then circumstances, then failures, then successes, then what other people think or say or do. Attitude is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. Attitude will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is, you and I have a choice. We have a choice every day regarding our attitude. We embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that what people will say, that they will act in a certain way towards us. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitude. And I want you guys to think about something. What was Christ's attitude? What was Christ's attitude when it came to dealing with hardship? What was Christ's attitude when it came to dealing with complaining, arguing, grumbling? What was Christ's attitude when it came to facing, knowing that he was going to face death on our behalf? Well, we can read about that in Philippians 2. If you guys will turn there with me. Philippians chapter 2. We'll read right exactly what Christ's attitude was. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking out to your own interests, but also looking to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude. Have the same mindset of Jesus Christ. And what was his attitude? Being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Christ's attitude was to get down on one knee and to wash his brother's feet. Christ's attitude was to give up everything so that you could live. What's our attitude in response to all this? Man, when we are focused on that which is praiseworthy, it produces the right attitude, a servant attitude like Jesus Christ. And lastly, focusing on that which is praiseworthy produces forgiveness. I love the story of Joseph. And in Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20, it culminates in him saying this, when his brothers were all there gathered in one room, the same brothers that sold him into slavery, that left him, that beat him, that left him for virtually being dead, but basically selling him and saying, adios, we don't want to see the little brother anymore. What was his reaction to the older brothers? What was his reaction to them? Joseph said to them, when he now is second in command of Egypt, when he is now in charge of all the provisions, with giving them the opportunity to live themselves by giving them food, by taking care of his brothers, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people's lives. What would your attitude have been if you were second command in Egypt? God had turned the tables and put you back in charge now, and your brothers were begging you for food and for forgiveness, would your attitude have been, die, brothers? Die, you get out of here. There's no way I'm going to forgive you. Or would your attitude have been that of Joseph here, giving the opportunity for forgiveness? When you focus on that which is praiseworthy, and see, the big thing here is Joseph had the big picture in mind. He understood that it was all about loving the Lord, his God, with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others as himself, and giving those guys the opportunity to be forgiven. When we focus on that which is praiseworthy, it is a game changer. It changes everything. It changes our attitudes. It changes our actions. And it changes our lives. So let's give it up to God and have an attitude, to have action, and to focus on that which is praiseworthy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful for this day. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you do in our lives, God. You're so good to us, Father. We have so much to be thankful, so much to understand that which is praiseworthy in our lives. From what you've given with your Son, Jesus Christ, and with your Spirit in our lives, Father, Lord, for what you've given through to us, through our Christian family, through being here at Family Vacation, Father, Lord, what you continue to pour into our lives, and Lord, help us to always understand that we have a responsibility, Father, to recognize that which is praiseworthy, Father, to understand that all good things come from you, Father, to understand that even through bad circumstances, that you are in control, Father, and you are there to hold our hand, and that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And Lord, we are so thankful to you, and we give it all up to you, Father. It's your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. I got up before the class ends. I got one question for you guys. There was something that wasn't mentioned at the beginning. There was one answer I was also looking for. What is? Let's see. I can remember. All right. The question is: what is one thing that is praiseworthy that we can no longer do in heaven? What is something that is awesome and praiseworthy that we will no longer have the opportunity to do in heaven?
Technology?
Huh?
Having the ability to have technology?
No, that is not it. Something that is praiseworthy, that is spiritual, that is a beautiful thing that we do as Christ followers that we can no longer do again in heaven. Yes. That's it. We can no longer make disciples. We can no longer share the gospel with other people. We can no longer go out and seek and save the lost. One of the most praiseworthy things that cuts me to the heart is when Jordan got baptized, when I've been a part of other people responding to Christ, whether I was the vessel that got to study with them or just encouraged them to study with somebody else. We no longer have that anymore. And so I want you guys to remember that we have so many things to be that we can be thankful for, but I want you guys to focus on making disciples now, because you won't be able to do it one day in heaven. Thank you, guys.